Good day and welcome, America and beyond. I'm Tom Donahue for Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Reports. And this is a very quick intro to the upcoming segments for this week's show. Quite frankly, you actually heard three of these segments. There's two additional segments added plus this quick intro. So I hope that this will provide you a comprehensive report on the Chinese coronavirus and the crisis and possible solutions and precautions, but also preventative measures. Moreover, the protections, I'm sounding the alarm, not pushing the panic button, as it relates to our constitutional rights, God-given rights, our personal liberties, are at stake as well, our livelihoods are, as well as our lives, and our way of life. So all those things will be contained within this program. I do want to mention a few things that have changed since the recordings of these segments. The president, of course, had an aspirational date of Easter. That has been extended as it relates to these restrictive virus guidelines, personal space, and the way we are under more or less a house arrest. And it is certainly a difficult time for all of us nationwide and worldwide. And it does feel like home confinement without the ankle bracelet and Big Brother and Big Tech intrusiveness as it relates to this health crisis. But nevertheless, Trump's handling this in a very measured and very responsible as well as responsive way. And I'm glad that he is not taking full advantage of this national emergency and the government's emergency powers and the actions he could potentially take. And he's being encouraged to do so. He's allowing the states with its governors and mayors and more local rather than national. And so I applaud you, Mr. President. Let's just keep President Trump and let's keep our nation in prayer and in our thoughts and in our well wishes. And one final note here. Essential services versus non-essential. Most of these politicians, are they really essential? And even if you think they are essential, well, they make enough money that why aren't they feeling the economic pain? And they seem to be more in the pleasure than pain. And they love the spotlight and they love their relationship with the media. I shudder to think that if they are actually essential, And they want to give away the store, well, then why don't they give away their largesse? Why don't they tighten their belts? And why aren't they working for free? The president works for free as it relates to presidential salary. I don't see any of these congressmen, senators, mayors, or any other politicians stepping up and donating, as well as not only donating, sacrificing, being part of this national sacrifice as it relates to combating the virus. And I thought we were all in it together. Okay, here's the rest of the program. Enjoy and share with others.
Now, here's your host, Tom Donahue, an investigative broadcaster and a man on a mission.
Hi, this is Tom Donahue for Tom Donahue Reports, Tom Donahue Show. So glad you are tuning in. And what I want to share with you is my preamble to this program. And the focus, of course, is on the Chinese coronavirus, the state of the nation, the plight of the nation. Our freedom's sake is at stake. Constitutional crisis in the making with the government's ordered, mandated quarantines and lockdowns. We are living in a totalitarian police state, mayors and governors seizing complete control in cahoots with the Dem Congress, and you can say Dem Congress, and media puppets urging more stringent measures. We are under house arrest and only missing the monitored ankle bracelet for now. We are being deprived of our fundamental liberties and essential rights, constitutionally protected and God-given rights. In governments or in God, we trust. We are in a virtual shutdown, a standstill, super shock society, and near prison like prism. It feels eerily like ghost towns or The Walking Dead or some scary sci-fi horror flick. This is no way to live in a free society long term. There are many forms of health to care for beyond the physical that are being grossly ignored, such as mental, spiritual, social, financial, and other that need to be factored into this political equation. Yet we must be sensible, but not surrender at all costs to Big Brother and Big Pharma. When did we grant the authority to medical czars and their crony politicians and media hype artists? There are pre-existing drugs that are seemingly effective, as well as herbal traditional medicines. That's a good thing. Of course, implement sensible and serious practicing of good hygiene, social distancing, self-isolating if necessary, taking preventative precautions, superfoods, nutrition, and supplements, proper medical care. Why are so many complicit and complacent with this promoted pandemic panic? The Dems are peddling panic and frightful fear. Many Dem leaders delight in seizing control. Moreover, Dems are thrilled to play this doomsday scenario out to its utmost degrees to sabotage and undermine the Trump re-election possibility. Dems are willing and conniving to devastate and destroy the economic well-being of all workers and our country at large. Yes, they want to destroy the United States economy to further their devious and debilitating political end goals. This is more about partisan politics than the public's health. Dems are dashing all hopes and destroying the American dream and silencing our sacred spirit. Now Dems want to stuff emergency relief bills with massive political pork and pet projects. These liberals are willing to sacrifice the public good for public gains. They are willing to subvert, pervert, and curtail all personal and civil liberties under the guise of saving lives and the health of the nation. They are actually complicit in their contempt for the Constitution of the United States and the American way of life. These are despicable and detestable political despots and demagogues. Trump is trying to show restraint and a measured response in this horrific public health crisis. However, he has to go big in bailouts or stimulus aid, as it is referred to, in an attempt to rescue a dying and near non-existent economy. The president understands the economy, markets, big and small business, and our labor force. He just announced that he expects America will be back open and working in weeks, not months. He wants the country opened up and just raring to go by Easter. Thank goodness we have a leader who is a sensible businessman who cares about the whole societal spectrum that impacts and affects the well-being of all the people, who can weigh welfare and work in his decisions for the good of the nation. He loves and cherishes freedom and patriotically treasures our liberties. We pray and trust in Trump's righteous and prudent approach will prevail. We must not surrender our liberty and rights unconditionally to political whims of dictators and tyrants. At what cost do we comply to deprive and destroy our lives, our livelihoods, and our lifestyle? For what ends? To our own ends, to life and liberty as we know it? Government guidelines rather than government mandates. Government overreach or overkill is wreaking havoc on the lives and wrecking our nation as we know it. Let local and states target hot zones and epicenters for breakouts and the vulnerable at-risk populations with appropriate responses and not a nationalized, centralized controls or a one-size-fits-all approach. The president declared a national emergency earlier in the month and has shown, though, great restraint. Imagine a Clinton, a Bush, an Obama, a Biden. There'd be martial law for all. Work, worship, way of life, and liberty have been disrupted and curtailed. Please, President Trump, protect our liberties and the American way of life, or we will lose it all. Our nation depends on it and depends on you, Mr. President. The president is right. He stated today that the coronavirus cure cannot be worse than the disease. May prayers and pragmatism prevail. I'm Tom Donahue for Tom Donahue Show. Tom Donahue reports.
Let's get back to the Tom Donahue Show. Always authentic, independent-minded, and truth-seeking.
Good day and welcome, America and beyond. I'm Tom Donahue for Tom Donahue Reports, Tom Donahue Show. So glad you can be with us for this week, this edition, this program, because I'm going to focus in on, and of course the nation and the world are focused in on, the Chinese virus, the coronavirus. And the fact is that, no, I'm not out to needle anyone. I'm not out to rub it in. I'm not out to have a racial or ethnic or xenophobic angle, okay? But there's nothing wrong with calling it the Chinese virus. So there's so much to get to and so much to cover, and I'm going to do it more macro more rather than micro. I mean, tons of television, radio, news print, or digital print that is covering this in to the nth degree into the nanosphere, because I'm doing a weekly program. I may expand that due to this and other, of course, 2020. But I have to say that I believe that President Trump overall is doing a pretty good job, that Trump's re-election in large part hinges on how he handles this. This is, the big test. I'm telling you that with Biden being his opponent in all likelihood, which we talked about in the previous program, he's going to challenge Trump, not just with coronavirus kinds of issues, but the fact is that he has a very fervent following in the Pennsylvania area, and in a lot of the Rust Belt, the blue collar, the working class, and we know the minorities and the Democrats in large part are coalescing and supporting Biden. So what I mean by this, and my overarching point in my analysis, happens to be that Trump has to give away the store, or at least promote and allow for Congress. Because Congress, all bills of revenue are generated in the Congress, as we know. The president can propose. I mean, he can have executive orders, and we'll get to that too. But in terms of just budgetary issues, revenue matters, that does emanate or is generated, through the House of Representatives. And of course, then the Senate is involved as well. But if this had been a typical Republican, and of course any Democrat, the Democrats would, we already know that they're trying to super stuff any of these bills, that are part of the virus relief to the nation. We know that Republicans typically would be a little bit more reticent, a little more hesitant to spend as much. And Trump's going to be profligate here. Trump knows that his re-election hinges on this, and so he's got to go big, maybe even bigger. Now, I don't know if a typical Republican would go as big as Trump will go, because he's the president in the executive office. But the fact of the matter is that Trump is showing a lot of restraint as it relates to using executive power. If it had been any other president, Clinton, Obama, Bush's even, a Romney, but I would say more specifically Obama and Clinton's, I would be in dire dread right now. I would be believing that martial law is coming down swifter and more harsh than we could have even imagined. And so I would be, well, I don't live in fear, but I think that many of us in the Christian, conservative, constitutional, patriot, freedom, liberty-based movements would be in abject fear to some extent, or at least be somewhat paranoid for good reason, if it were anybody with the exception of Trump. And I've thought about that a lot, because right now we're in a nation of lockdown. You know, we're living almost within a prison system with rules and regulations that, and people say, well, it's for your health and the health of and well-being of others. I get that. And to some extent, that's true. But when I listen to Michael Savage, I haven't listened to Robert Scott Bell as much as I would like to, and I need to, because I think these are two trusted voices that are on radio that can give us a better read and a better analysis and interpretation of events and stratagems, you know, that we can employ. But I did, within the last day or so, I did listen to Savage, Michael Savage, Savage Nation. And he was discussing, you know, because he is a scientist, he does have the scientific background, he can cut through a lot of the nonsense. What he's saying, and there are a few other voices, but his is probably the strongest and the loudest as it relates to personal liberties. And the fact of the matter is, why does this net of control have to be so widely casted? Why is it so wide in its cast? Why is it so intrusive and pervasive and so controlling? And again, this is my interpretation of what he had to say, and also, you know, my take. And I have to say that, in essence, he was trying to say during his program and podcast later on, was that why not focus on those that are the most vulnerable, the most susceptible, the ones that are already stricken, those that are at risk, and not everybody and anybody, and why should everybody's liberties be constrained and be intruded upon? And just imagine, when we look back on this, the economic devastation. Our nation will never be the same. Yeah, we'll rebound. You know, we'll get back to work. We'll get back to business somewhat as usual. But there's going to be casualties beyond just fatalities and people that do recover from the virus. But are these measures draconian? Are these measures big brother, big sister, control state? Do we need to be under a martial law? Do we need to be under emergency powers? Do we need the federal government? And that's where I have to applaud Trump. He has been trying to be more restrained. He's trying to be more measured, because he's not being reckless. He's not being flippant. And he also is not falling prey to those in the medical establishment, those in the political establishment, and the media, of course, that are trying to push him. And it's ironic because, you know, those that did, you know, that didn't trust Trump and thought he was a dictator and thought he was authoritarian, lo and behold, now they want Trump to issue more executive declaratory measures and a more martial law style run of this regime that's to fight this virus. It's kind of peculiar when you really think of it, you know, how Trump is actually handling this in a much more responsible and a much more measured and a much more mature way. So I applaud you, Mr. President. I applaud you for not going too far, but we've got many states. I'm in Pennsylvania, and you know, we're not maybe quite as restrained, as intruded upon and being suppressed as New York, as California, I guess the state of Washington. They say more than a third of the nation is on lockdown. we're really, our lives have changed forever. And it's almost like if you're a libertarian, you must be going nuts. And if you're someone that, does crave and appreciate our personal liberties and our freedoms, our civil liberties, our God-given rights. And I appreciate the fact that Trump's allowing states, he's allowing communities, local municipalities, to do more of the regulating, to do more of that as it relates to the community, rather than a one policy fits all, and everybody, even if there's no cases, even if there's so few cases, that they'd have to come under the same invasive and restrictive measures and controls. So I applaud you, Mr. President. We're going to pick up on this subject and much more as it relates to the coronavirus. Right back. Hold tight.
Now, back to the Tom Donahue Show, putting America first and patriotism in action.
Welcome back, Tom Donahue, Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Reports. So glad you are with us. And to follow up from the previous segment, I wanted to say that, what about open borders? Well, that's all changing too. So here we have a situation where Canada and Mexico are closing their border. We have many European nations closing their borders. Countries throughout the world closing their borders. So a word that is supposed to be unspoken or has to have the word open on the front end, well, they've changed their tune. So Trump, Perot, Buchanan, Chuck Carter, myself, Michael Savage, and the others have been right on the money as it relates to having to be a sovereign nation. You have to have borders. You have to have secure borders. And Trump was so right about, well, how about the travel ban? Well, not only the United States, but many nations are having a travel ban. It's essentially worldwide. It's very interesting now that the fundamental principles of our constitutional republic, a common sense republic, are now playing out. And it took something so drastic. But of course, the Dems and those that are globalist, internationalist, New World Order-ish type folks, you know, the super elite, the power elite, the hidden hand, the unseen hand, the shadow governments of the world, they will continue to oppose anything that relates to nation state, that relates to secure borders, that relates to sovereignty, that relates to individual nations. And so this United Nations concept and open borders, well, it didn't work out so well. You know, with the Chinese and bringing the Chinese virus, the coronavirus. Now, I'm hoping that in the next segment, I want to touch on, there are some, I wouldn't say cures, but let's say remedies, or at least that would complement. You know, you hear the term complementary medicine. But the Chinese, even though the problem was created there, the solutions beyond the drug and, you know, big pharma seems to lie in the fact, and I'm in total agreement on this, at least in large part, that superfoods, you know, power herbs and spices do play, that not only can, but could and would and should play a huge role. I'd love to see beyond Dr. Fauci and other medical experts have someone that relates to diet and nutrition as part of a comprehensive strategy to combat the virus and to bolster, to boost the immune response. I mean, natural immunity is the way to go, period. But of all media sources, CNN had an article that related to traditional medicine, quote unquote, because westernized medicine is not considered traditional medicine. That is the primary reason, and again, we should always hold China suspect as it relates to whatever press releases or whatever reports, official statements come out of China. No one has been able to disprove the fact that the virus count is down significantly and that people seem to be recovering and faring better. So we need to look at that. We need to look at everything and not just the medical model, not just what Big Pharma proposes, and not just what medical experts and authorities have tried to dictate. And again, I think Dr. Fauci is doing a pretty good job overall. And I think he, even when Trump says things, when Trump says, oh, I feel this. Well, it's not a matter of feeling. It's a matter about, you know, relying on medical and nutritional reports and looking at the preponderance of evidence. But I like the fact that Trump is actually fast-tracking things. Trump is actually bringing in the private sector, bringing in a lot of different moving parts that can make things happen. So that businessman that we felt all along had the potential to shine. This is his moment. This is crucial not only for the nation, the world, but for his political life, meaning if he wants 4 more years. So again, I have to say, I think he's handling this quite well. But again, I think he was on top of it as it related to travel bans. But he was somewhat dismissive and didn't take as seriously the ramifications of this virus. I think he kind of viewed it more as like a super flu. But again, he might not have been the only president that might not have taken it as seriously. But if he hadn't taken some of those precautions, regardless, we'd be in much worse shape. China's got to be held accountable. They got to be held liable. They got to be held suable. I've heard the word reparations, and I think that there are damages. It goes traced directly back to them. They weren't forthcoming. They weren't honest with this epidemic, this pandemic. And if they would have, there's reports that say that 95% of the cases would not have happened. So there have been 95% less likelihood of these cases developing and having these fatalities and having us under a near martial law, emergency powers, lockdown nation. So open borders does not work. And so it takes a pandemic for travel bans to say, yeah, that makes sense now. Closing borders, yeah, that makes sense now. Having stricter security measures at the borders in any travel makes sense. I know that many of the Democrats, I know many of the globalists, internationalists, even some on the Republican side, still will want to buy back into, this crazy concept of open borders, the doing away with nation states. Now, the other thing that NAFTA and GATT and going global rather than staying local that really hurt us is we are dependent on the same nation that gave us the Chinese virus, the coronavirus, for medical supplies. Besides, so many of our manufactured goods, but more importantly, more specifically, the medical applications, not only the medicines, but a lot of the surgical supplies that we're in short supply of, and that there's major shortages of. So again, I'm glad at least on to report a little bit of good news is that, yeah, we were right about travel bans. Yeah, we were right about border security. Yeah, we were right about nation states and sovereign borders that makes for a safer nation. And it's just pure common sense besides constitutional sense. All right. So that's what I have to say about that. I have to say that overall, generally speaking, I think President Trump's doing a good job. I just hope he doesn't fall prey to going too extreme, but I know he has to go big on these payouts. Our nation is cratering. We're being economically obliterated. Our personal liberties are being interfered with. And we're having, of course, there's a lot of illness, some fatalities that we're all well aware of. But nevertheless, you know, we got to look at everything in perspective. As I mentioned, Michael Savage has done a really good job, you know, reporting on the fact that why is everybody having to suffer? And why is everybody, for the most part, having to be restricted when it could be done in a more strategic and a more sensible way? You know, and I happen to agree. So I don't want to hit panic buttons, but in order for the president to get reelected, he's going to have to dole out the funds. He's going to have to go big. He's going to have to continue to kind of go along with the major trends that you see happening that typically you wouldn't think a conservative would do. But if it means doling out more money, if it means actually acquiescing to some extent for Trump to have four more years, I guess we have to bite the bullet. More to come. Hold tight. Right back.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Let's get back to the Tom Donahue Show. Always authentic, independent-minded, and truth-seeking.
Welcome back, Tom Donahue. Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Reports. Lockdown Nation. Shutdown nation, shutdown world, lockdown world. The globalists, the internationalists, the super elite, the power elite, they have their bunkers. They have the top medical minds and experts that they can always have access to. They would have private transport. They'd figure out ways to get where they need to be, to have not only the supplies, the food, the medicines, and of course, in their own environments, entertainment. But in order for them to wipe out portions of the world, to bring countries to their knees, they'll use monetary, they'll use panics and plagues, they'll have economic collapses, they'll use anything and everything. Because the name of the game is control. I mentioned I was listening to Michael Savage this past week. He was talking about why is there such a cry for nationalizing and centralizing all responses and measures? Yeah, so why is it that one solution fits all? It's sort of like saying one shoe size would fit all. It doesn't work that way. And that's part of the reason that we have varying states and communities, and we have local laws, we have state laws, we have national, federal laws. And I'm glad that Trump has been somewhat reluctant, somewhat reticent to enact complete federal control and lockdown. But he's being pushed to do that. Now, he does know that if he doesn't dole out as much money and as quickly as possible, any and all parties. Now, again, I don't have an issue with the fact that if the government's shutting down, forcing the workforce to be, you know, 90% of the workforce out of the workforce, and so many folks in our nation and the world live paycheck to paycheck, and that if you don't have a job or your company cannot pay you, and we're really under a national and worldwide emergency. But one of the things that we fear the most as patriots, as constitutionalists, as conservatives, as people, followers of our faith, is that we would be in a martial law, you know, national emergency, executive order controlled nation. When I think back of the prior presidents in recent times, in recent decades, I shudder to think what they would be doing to capitalize on this control. I feel that we are blessed as a nation and blessed as American citizens of our great states, that because it really is state citizenship more than national, federal citizenship, but that's another issue for another day. But just speaking in general terms, to be an American and to know that we have Donald Trump in office, that is being prudent, that's being measured, that's being mature and responsible, and he's hesitant, reticent to execute the utmost federal control. And so we have to, number one, we need to pray for our president, pray for our nation, pray for our citizenry. Also, the fact is that Trump is proving that he is no dictator. He is no totalitarian, authoritarian, control freak. Matter of fact, he's got the governors that hate him pushing him to be. We have people in Congress and the Senate at the federal national level. We have state governors. We have mayors that are pushing this president to perform in a way that they said they feared him because they felt that he was acting as a dictator and someone that was acting outside the bounds of the Constitution and that was a criminal and that was a vicious and violent figure, character. The whole thing is ironic, and it is really a contradiction in terms of what they've always thought of President Trump and how they feared President Trump and how they hated President Trump. And now they're all saying, give me, give me, give me, and take the reins, take more control. Well, then are they saying now that they trust President Trump? Are they saying now that, or would it be just any president? They just love the fact that they want to be dominated, controlled, be submissive, to be completely and utterly and helplessly dependent upon the government, even if it's a leader that you don't trust. Well, I can only speak for myself, but I can say to you that thank God for President Trump. Thank God that we don't have an Obama, a Clinton, a Romney, a Bush, and that's the way I see it. Well, there was a term that I was reaching for in the last program when I was talking about Bernie Sanders and the fact that he's not part of either political party, and he kind of aligns himself with, and I said he kind of collaborates with the Democrat Party. The word I was looking for, and I may have mentioned it later on, was coalition. You know, you have in Europe and you have in Canada these coalition governments, and that they work together in a coalition. And so that's what Bernie Sanders does with the Democrat Party when it suits him. I think that if he wants to be more honest and transparent, just be the leader of the Socialist Party or the Communist Party. But he is one of the more transparent and honest politicians when he talks about his views and what he wants to do with this nation. And he's been pretty quiet during all of this. That's kind of interesting. Now, Biden has spoken out. And there have been some long-time critics of Trump that are actually applauding some of the things he's doing. That's a little scary. Nevertheless, Trump still can't help himself at times when he's talking about some of the drugs or some of the therapies and whatever, and they ask him, well, what are you relying upon? He says, well, that's the way I feel. Well, it's not a matter about how we feel. You know, when you have questions that relate to, you know, medical measures and policies and things that you advocate for, just have a little bit more medical information, medical reports that you say you're relying on. It's not to say that what you're feeling based on, I guess, what you've heard, but it just sounds kind of odd when the president says, well, I'm relying on my feelings. Now, I think Dr. Fauci is doing a reasonably good job. Again, I would like to see a little more nutritional and more of a superfoods and maybe homeopathic and natural ways of boosting the immune response to be employed and to be discussed. And I know that Trump knows about some of these things. I'm not saying he quite practices that in his life, but I know that, I mean, he's been on, you know, different shows, whether it be a Savage or an InfoWars, and I know that he's got a lot of friends. And matter of fact, he has said some things that were somewhat critical of vaccines as it relate. And I know he had met with Robert Kennedy Jr. About that. So I can tell you right now, and again, I'm not advising anybody. The chances are 99% that I will not take any vaccines. I don't trust vaccines overall. You know, I'd have to know a lot more about it, and I would have to know, but I'm not, but I can tell you that there are certain medications that they're talking about that I would consider as part of my medical protocol and strategy to take, because I don't take the flu shots. Again, that's something that you'll have to decide, you know, you have to pray about, you know, but I really do believe in working with my natural immune response rather than suppressing it, rather than destroying the healthy bacteria in my body, and destroying, you know, well, yeah, because that's what happens. A lot of these medicines, you're essentially, you know, destroying more than actually restoring or rejuvenating, or healing. That's what I have to say on that. We got a lot more to come in the final segment. Hang in there, hold tight. More to come right back. You're tuned to the Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Program, Tom Donahue Podcast, Tom Donahue Reports.
TalkRite, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRite makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRite today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Let's get back to the Tom Donahue Show. Always authentic, independent-minded, and truth-seeking.
Welcome back, Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Reports. So glad you are with us, and we're going into our final segment for this week, and I referenced a article that I thought was worthwhile, that's timely, that's interesting and informative. And I did post this as Program Director of TalkStream Live in our news headlines a few days back. And it was entitled, Beijing is Promoting Traditional Medicine as a Chinese Solution to Coronavirus. Not everybody is on board. Well, I happen to be on board in large part because I do believe that anything we can do to naturally boost the immune response, to bolster your own immune system, be able to ward off these pathogens and these invaders that are part of this virus matrix, then I say absolutely, positively so. In this article, and you can read it for yourself, it was actually produced by CNN. They have a video report as well. I'm the type of person that, yes, there can be questionable, like just like China. I mean, the information coming out of here is dubious. That is certainly questionable. But I have a critical eye for everybody and everything. And I, you know, put everything to the test, and you should as well. So even though it's coming from CNN, sometimes truth comes from the strangest corners or vectors. So I'm not as concerned about that as I am dissecting and discerning the information that's been made available to me. But one of the things that they talk about here is that patients and citizens of China, what they're doing is they're actually being handed a bag of brown soup. That's comprised of a traditional Chinese remedy blended from 20 herbs, including ephedra, cinnamon twigs, licorice root, etc. And they're finding that it's lung-clearing, detoxifying soup, as they say here. As an herbal compound, they've been given this, and it's actually part of the Chinese government's push to use traditional medicine, TCM, in the fight against the novel coronavirus outbreak. So as scientists race to find a cure and a vaccine, China is increasingly turning to traditional remedies. And as of last month, more than 85% of all coronavirus patients in China, about 60,000 people, had received herbal remedies alongside mainstream antiviral drugs. This is according to the Ministry of Science and Technology. Now, I don't know how you can argue with taking soups, you know, foods that come, that are supercharged from the superfoods, the herbs, the spices. I certainly won't, because I'm a believer that if I contract the flu, I contract colds, any kind of viruses, first thing I do is I reach for not only amping up on vitamin C superfoods and supplements, and anything that's, look for ginger, cinnamon, turmeric, and loading up my food with garlic. And then there's certain like wellness formulas that you can also pick up at the vitamin shop, or, well, right now you can hardly pick up anything, but you can order online as well, or Whole Foods, that kind of thing. So I really do believe that herbal medicine, homeopathy, natural-based healing modalities are certainly the way to go, in large part. But I think you can combine Western medicine, traditional Eastern medicine, you know, natural approach. And again, I'm not a big fan of allopathic medicine. I'm not a big fan of big pharma. Yes, there are some that actually model or have synthetic derivatives that they're actually replicating to almost the nth degree what those herbal medicines or those herbal constituent aspects to, you know, that comprise the polyphenols or, you know, various other antioxidant-rich parts of those plants. And who can argue with, for the most part? Like, yeah, there can be a few things depending on your medications, depending on your own biology or physiology or biochemistry that could have an issue with certain herbs because they can be very powerful. Why not increase hot sauces, you know, and why not increase garlic and cinnamon and ginger? And matter of fact, I'll give you a real, you want to talk about soup, supercharged soup, and that is chicken soup. And you say, oh, I thought that was just a wives' tale, or I just thought that that was common myth. No, actually, anytime that I've had chicken soup, it has helped in terms of clearing out the sinuses. That helps, you know, as a decongestant, that helps in the healing process. But there's just something about the boiling of soup, and you can use bones from not only chicken. The bone broths are also very good in for many ways, because you have it's supercharged with minerals, and of course, you know, zinc is a huge plays a huge role in fighting colds and viruses and pathogens. Oh, so the term that's used, commonly used, and you can look this up, is Jewish penicillin. And there, even modern day science is having to give its plaudits and its kudos to Jewish penicillin, which, you know, is the antioxidant rich virus killing in many aspects. Some people can call it the cure of the common cold, is by taking chicken soup. That's something that you might also want to factor in and consider. So I really do applaud any and all articles that relate to what is it that they are doing, even though I still say have a critical eye, be somewhat dubious, somewhat suspect. Don't rely just on information from CNN or any media source. You know, so far, we've not been able to disprove the fact that traditional medicine, herbal medicine, you know, these superfoods are actually playing a huge role. And here's a quotation from that article. By adjusting the whole body health and improving immunity, TCM, which is traditional Chinese medicine, can help stimulate the patient's abilities to resist and recover from disease, which is an effective way of therapy. Traditional medicine had helped fight viruses in the past, such as SARS, a pandemic in 2002 and 3 that killed hundreds in China. So far, more than 50,000 novel coronavirus patients have been discharged from hospitals, and the majority of them used TCM, traditional Chinese medicine, according to doctors and medical authorities in China. So I want to encourage you folks that now that we're in lockdown, shutdown, and controlled in a controlled country, except thankfully Donald Trump is showing a great deal of restraint and a great deal of maturity and not taking to extreme measures, which we absolutely positively appreciate. I think you need to always take stock in one's own health evaluations. Anytime I deal with any doctors, I tell them that I am a part of the team, that I'm a contributor, that I'm the final decider, that I do my own research, and that we collaborate. We were talking about before, coalition governments, we're a coalition. And that's the way I think you should approach this. But you have to know what to look for. You have to know how to study and research. Again, I would say be sure to be listening to Michael Savage and the Savage Nation. And Robert Scott Bell has another program that he does during the week and on Sundays. They both have podcasts. They both are streamed on the TalkStream Live channels and apps. So there are two shows that I would highly recommend. And, of course, I'll try to bring you whatever I can uncover and mind through this medical maze. Nevertheless, I hope that this information has been useful. I hope this information has been helpful. And God bless America. God bless the world. And that we recover and we rebound sooner rather than later. And stay healthy. Stay well. And I wish you all the best. And my thoughts and prayers are with you as well. Until we meet again, I'm Tom Donahue for Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Reports. Have a great week, and again, may God bless you and your health and your family, and certainly our nation and the world at large.